Welcome to the Mommy Matters podcast, where Mommy Matters is a double entendre that states and declares that mommies matter, where we have conversations surrounding mommy matters from conception to pregnancy to postpartum, mother and father wounds, dating, mindfulness and self-care, spirituality, parenting, discipline, legislation, money, and so much more. It is my hope and my prayer that the information that you gather here serves as a blueprint for generational and individual ascension. Enjoy.
Well, today our subject is delayed postpartum. And this is something that I didn't know, and also toddler blues. I guess you can just call it parenting blues, right? And basically this comes with the idea and understanding that the current definition of postpartum depression or disorders says that you can start to experience these things from 3 weeks up to 3 months after having a baby. You can start to experience them. And this postpartum blues and extended blues, postpartum depression, extended depression, is saying that you can actually start to experience this even a year after or 2 years after. It just really depends on the what you're experiencing and how much support you're getting and the other stressors of life that are attached to the process of parenting. And how that affects your hormones, how your hormones are interacting with how your environment is, and all of these various things. And this is something that I identify with significantly because it's something that I know that I experienced. Before I read this, I knew that I experienced this because it wasn't until several years after, maybe two and a half years, that I started to experience this, that I started to experience a sort of feeling of just this lowness and constant tiredness and being emotional and just knowing that I needed more support. And I'm so grateful that I pulled out of it. I don't know how I did. But yes, this is sometimes referred to as late onset or delayed postpartum depression. And because it happened so late, it's considered a maternal depression. And, you know, doctors are not, or researchers are not saying how late this can occur. But the point here, and I think it's important to point out, is that there is a spectrum that postpartum distress stretches further into. And women are struggling longer than had been this thought. Because we all know, and I've heard, I'm in tons of mothers groups where, you know, mothers are constantly talking about toddlers, you know, those quote unquote terrible twos. Some women may experience very easy babies, but then newborns, but then their toddlers, you know, kick up a lot of dust, so to speak. Okay. With the shenanigans. I'm sure we've all heard various stories about things being destroyed and the different things that happen. You know, this is a complex thing. It's a complex thing just in the way that postpartum depression, as we know it now, this is an expansion of what we're thinking of it. But as we know it now, but it's a complex conversation about, you know, our physicality, physiology, our brain, our relationships, in the way that just life expresses itself currently with our modern living, that can contribute to anxiety and depression for mothers. Genetic predisposition is also an issue. Work and financial stress, as we know, socioeconomic status can greatly impact postpartum woes. Relationships with your partner and your support networks, if you have them or not. Hormonal fluctuations associated with birth, and you know, I would say diet and nutrition as well. As well as breastfeeding and weaning. So it's no coincidence that for me, when I started to feel that way, a certain way, feeling that heaviness and the depression and the anxiety started to kick up, I was not far away from having been stopping breastfeeding my daughter. So I breastfed her up until 2.5 years. And so, you know, there's a bunch of physiological and neurological things that happen when you are breastfeeding. And so when that ends, of course, there are physiological and neurological consequences. And these are all things that we are now becoming more aware of, and being able to share. You know, these feelings of anxiety and depression, it can go into many years. As we know, it can be difficult having teenagers. It can be difficult, you know, with your child at any age. And I think that it's important that we keep it as a constant conversation, that it's okay to, when planning for, I know this is a part of the conversation that I have, that when planning for having children, part of the budget needs to be having a nanny. Part of the conversation needs to be around the support system and the help. That community care that you receive is powerful and it's absolutely important. And a lot of this awareness that is being raised is for women to, of course, advocate for themselves around what it is that they need to look for. Because, you know, as much as we want to believe that other people are going to advocate for us because it's such a critical issue, we know what we feel, right? We know what we feel. We know we have intimate consideration of this issue. And I actually just wrapped up a screening and discussion of this movie called The Dark Side of the Full Moon, which talks about perinatal and postpartum depression. And, there was a lot of great conversation in there, but two things that stuck out to me were that 40% of moms who are dealing with the postpartum depression issues, or any mood disorder, self-medicate. So that means that they either drink alcohol or they take some kind of over-the-counter drug, or medicinal herb such as CBD, marijuana, etc., in order to calm their nerves. Because that's what, you know, these kinds of drugs do. They calm your nervous system down. And while I'm not a fan of taking drugs, my personal journey led me to learning about different herbal medicines that help to do the same, that would help me to sleep and to just calm my nerves. And you, if you've listened, you've heard me talk about these things before. I'm not a doctor. I just know that, you know, I try things that I feel drawn to try. And I can tell people about that. The thing that really struck me, besides that, community care, and those kinds of things, is also that the number one implication or complication of childbirth is actually mental health issues, postpartum depression and postpartum mood disorders. Okay, so we think that it's cesareans, we think that it's you know, healing after having the baby, or things like preeclampsia, but by far, postpartum mood disorders are the number one complication of childbirth. So that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot. And I often wonder, I put on my social media a few weeks ago that untreated and undiagnosed postpartum mood disorders can show themselves or present in different ways. It can present as shortness of patience. It can present as yelling and screaming. It can present as being mean to your children. It can present as your home not being clean. It can present as you not eating. It can present in so many. It can be present as you eating, overeating. It can present in so many ways. I think that one of my points is that if something drastic and significant is happening with your significant other or someone in your family, something is happening, even if they can't put it into words, but you see the changes, you see how they are changed and how they're different, or even yourself, if you can feel it, if you're still aware enough to feel it, that you know that you need some kind of help. And this can happen over a spectrum of time. It is a mental health concern, and there is treatment. There are ways to improve and to feel better. That is the main message for this conversation. And I'm happy to be able to bring this conversation because in saying that mommy matters and mommies matter, this is a part of it. Your overall wellness, your physical wellness, your emotional wellness, your spiritual wellness. How are you being cared for? How are we advocating for our systems to ensure that they are set up in a way that our care and wellness are at the center of it? All of those things matter. And so that is something that I want you to think about. The other thing that I really want you to think about, and what I talked about in the screening discussion, was how do we assist women in our communities? How do we assist families in our communities when they have a new child, when they have a new addition to their family? Because as I'm getting back into doing postpartum work, I want to ensure that, you know, postpartum, that I'm supporting the families in a way that really assists them into transitioning with their new addition to their family in a healthy and well way. And so if that means helping them with cooking meals, making sure that they're able to relax and have, you know, a hot bath or go out on dates, whatever that may look like, right? Because it's so important for their wellness, their mental health, for them to be able to stay connected to themselves. And that's a part of the role of a postpartum doula. And I advocate for families to look into and to get a postpartum doula. If you have a birth doula, see whether or not they can refer you to a postpartum doula, or they can they offer that as a service. They most do offer coming to see you after giving birth a few times, but it may not be as integrated, especially if they're birth doulas, because birth doulas can have like schedules like a doctor, right? So they are like on call if they have families that are on rotation that needs assistance. And so these are all things that are highly important to consider, and part of the ways, one of the many things, because depending on what the cause of the postpartum mood disorder is, one of the ways that you can help to ensure wellness in your family for the moms and for the dads. Because yes, dads do feel it too. They get depression and such. It may not be the way that the mom does, but it definitely happens. Okay. So with that said, I am keeping this brief today. I don't have, you know, anything else to add to this conversation. This is definitely a conversation that is something that is new. When I heard the word, I knew instantly what it meant. But I do know that many may not know what that means. And to just be mindful, if you're a male and you have a partner, to be mindful of her and how she's functioning. To be mindful of her moods, her actions, her, you know, maybe the way she's presenting and looking. Any of those things can be affected. So, with that said, I hope this is useful for you, and I look forward to coming next month. If you have any particular conversations that you are intrigued to discuss, then or hear discussed, feel free to email me at my new email, nurture@mommyevolve.com. You can also email me at mommyevolve@gmail. Either one, it comes to both. Also, I want to honor and notice that this month we are celebrating Black Breastfeeding Week. This is a powerful week to advocate and to notice the needs of and the education, the empowerment, the needs of children in breastfeeding, and that breastfeeding is, if you can, it's not an easy thing to do. Again, sometimes because of the way society is set up, it's difficult, especially if you're trying to do something on demand. You need a lot of support. However, I can say for being a mother who breastfed that it's absolutely worth it to do that. So I want to show my homage and respect for women giving birth, period, and for women who take up the charge of breastfeeding. Attempting to breastfeed, doing the breastfeeding in the various ways that it can be done, whether it's through pumping and putting in the bottle, but giving your child that level of nutrition is very powerful. And then that has a spectrum too, I've come to learn, because there are women who still express milk, even if their child are grown and their whole family consumes the milk as a form of nutrition. I don't know about the medicality of it or the medicalness of it or any of that. I don't even know if medicalness is a word, but I'm going to use it today. But it does bring you to the understanding and opens up my mind too that, you know, a lot of things are spectrum. Everybody's experience is different, and that is the true understanding of a spectrum. Your experiences are different. The way you see things, the way you engage with things, they're different. In that spectrum, it's okay. All right. So with that, continue to have these conversations, continue to encourage one another, continue to nurture one another, and continue to educate and empower one another. And I am grateful for you all for listening. Please subscribe so that when new episodes come, you can hear. And if you have any questions, shoot me emails or drop a comment below the conversation. Have a lovely, lovely, lovely rest of your summer. The summer is coming to a close, but I look forward to fall and what it brings, which is more rest, more refuge, more rest. And have a lovely one. Peace and blessings.
Did you like that? I know it was as informative for you as it was for me. Look, this is a process for all of us. And to keep this process going, I would love to invite you to donate to our podcast. We want to continue to give you high-level content, beautiful content that enlightens and inspires and broadens your vision to elevate you and evolve. So please feel free to go to the podcast page at anchor.fm/mommymatters. We would love to hear your questions and comments as well, so that we can discuss them in future podcasts. And you can email that to momevolve@gmail.com. You can also visit the website and send your comments there, www.mommyevolve.com. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Peace and love.